much more I want to say. I've already discussed the more general MPI sends. There's a thing called application topology, which essentially is allowing you to do automatically work out the rank of, if you have a two-dimensional array, to find out the nearest neighbor processes, so that you don't have to do geometry inside your program. But that's relatively straightforward to do yourself anyway. So you can pack and unpack data, which essentially is a binary version of the what we described in detail for the derived data types. And I've already mentioned that there are these communicators, but I haven't really told you anything interesting about communicators, because we've only used the world's simplest communicator, because that's all we'll ever need for this course. But in general, communicators allow you to set up subgroups of processes, which I illustrated by the matrix example earlier on. It also allows you to set up these, what I call here, independent MPI universes, because the communicator has yet another, essentially something equivalent to a tag. And the idea of the tag in the communicator, it shouldn't be used for simple things inside application process programs, but rather it's used when you build MPI libraries. Because when you build an MPI library, you want to make certain that the library can send messages, and those messages are not confused with the application messages. So we need to label messages and keep these, well, this is what I mean by universes. So we have several different, effectively different MPI programs running together, which in principle you have with libraries. You don't actually, if you use a library in this loosely synchronous fashion, you won't, because then you'd synchronize the processes before you call the library. But if it's running in an asynchronous mode, there would undoubtedly be mixing of user messages and library messages. So by giving the library a unique communicator or data tag, you can keep, you can avoid that problem. So that looks like the end of MPI.